So thankful that Pastor Plugman will be filling in for me after this demanding week, and he's asked that we read, I'm assuming it will be the text for sermon from Joshua 3. And remember, let's get the geography now. If Israel is my forearm, and you have the Sea of Galilee up here, and you have the Dead Sea down here, then Jericho would be right about where my elbow is. The Israelites have been 40 years in the wilderness. Now Joshua has been called out to succeed Moses. They're about ready to cross the Jordan River, which is kind of a replay of the passage through the Red Sea, as you can tell. And it is about, we're dealing about 1385 years or so before the birth of Christ when this occurred. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Sittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, well, then you shall set out from your place and follow it, and yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Don't come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here, listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea we would call it, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan.
Well, as Pastor Shisko began to explain in just a few words, it had been a very long time coming. Some 40 years had gone by since Israel set out on this mission of going to the promised land. And the amazing thing about it all is that to travel from where they were to the promised land would take ordinary travelers only 3 days. There was a perfectly good road from Egypt to go to Canaan that was frequented by merchants and other travelers, and it would take 3 days to get from Canaan to Egypt and from Egypt back to Canaan. And they took all of 40 years. Even if you take into account that they had a lot of little ones with them, that they had livestock and so forth, maybe they would have taken a week. But they took 40 years. And finally, they are there on the east side of the Jordan River, and the day has come for them to cross over and to begin to receive their inheritance from the Lord. Just one obstacle remained, and that was crossing the Jordan River. Now, again, in the Lord's providence, the amazing thing here was the place that the Lord chose, because it was just north of where the Jordan River emptied out into the Dead Sea. And that meant that all the contributaries to the Jordan River had emptied out their water into the Jordan so that the volume of water was as large as it could be and was larger than anywhere else going north along the Jordan River. Not only that, but the time of year that the Lord prepared for them to cross over was that time of year when just the natural volume of water coming north from the mountains of Lebanon was the largest. And the text says, for at that time of year, the Jordan overflows all its banks. And so the obstacles were formidable for them, particularly livestock and little ones crossing over into the Jordan River. And that's the context. And then the way in which the Lord directs them to cross the Jordan. First of all, he tells them to consecrate themselves, or King James has to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart to the Lord, to give themselves to the Lord and to his purposes that they might serve him. And they do. And then they are told to follow the priest as they go toward the Jordan River. And, you know, humanly speaking, there's no way, right? I mean, they see the Jordan there ahead of them. Right from their camp, they can see it. And there's just no way that they're going to cross this river. And the Lord hasn't provided any answer. The amazing thing is, had they waited in their camp patiently for the Lord to provide a way across the river, they would have never gone. Would never have happened. Even if they had walked up to the edge of the Jordan River and stood there and waited, nothing would have happened. They would have never crossed. Because the Lord directed them to put their feet in the water, to actually begin to give themselves to those waters, and then a way would be prepared. Now, that wasn't the first time that Israel learned this lesson. The Lord actually took 40 years to teach this lesson to his people. 40 years earlier, as Pastor Shisko alluded to already, they had come in the Lord's providence to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was on their heels, and they're caught between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, and sure death awaited them, humanly speaking. And what is the word of the Lord to them then? Through Moses, the Lord tells Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. But the Red Sea was ahead of them. And as they go forward, and as they come to the edge of the Red Sea, Moses is to take his staff and to lift it over the water, to stretch it out over the water, and the waters will part. And a way would be provided for them. And I suggest to you that, looking over these two events in Israel's history, that God is always about the business of teaching his people to trust him, but we might say more broadly, to live in covenant with him, to walk with him. There, on the edge of the Red Sea, the word of the Lord was, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And here at the edge of the Jordan River, the word that the Lord passed along through Joshua to the people was, tell the people to consecrate themselves to the Lord. And they amount really to the same thing. Because when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we go forward with him. We begin to walk in his ways. We begin to entrust ourselves to him. And the people did. And the remarkable thing is that when the priest actually stepped into the water, because that's what they were to do, then the waters were cut off. And the dry ground appears and the people cross over into the promised land. Now, this lesson, and God in one form or another, and in many forms, taught this lesson to his people over the 40 years. He took 40 years to teach the people, and here, under Joshua, they're finally doing it. They're not murmuring, they're not complaining. They follow their priest through the river, and God guides them across. But it hadn't always been that way. And as I said to you, this lesson pops up in many forms and many places in Scripture, and it will pop up in your life as well as you walk with the Lord. Because when the children of Israel remarkably had crossed the Red Sea, where do they end up? They end up in a howling wilderness where there is no provisions. They might as well have drowned in the Red Sea or be killed by the Egyptian army, because humanly speaking, there was nothing for them. And they're there on the other side, and of course we know that they give themselves to murmuring and to complaining. But what was the lesson that they were to learn when they climbed up out of the Red Sea and into this wilderness where there was nothing to sustain their lives? The lesson might as well have been, and the word might as well have been, though it's not exactly recorded in those words, but it might as well have been, tell the children of Israel to go forward, right? And tell the children of Israel to consecrate themselves to the Lord. And what happens there in that wilderness? Well, the manna begins to fall from heaven every morning. God feeds his people in that howling wilderness. And he brings forth water out of the rock. Now, if you are like me, and I've heard the story from a little child on, I picture, you know, Moses striking the rock and water gushing out. But I want you to stop and think about that a little bit more. Because the people of Israel that were to be sustained by that water flowing from the rock was about equal to the population of Suffolk County, including livestock. This was no meagerly little stream. It couldn't have been, because in no way would it have sustained them. This was nothing but an earthly picture of the river of life that we encounter elsewhere in Scripture, that flows from the throne of God, God meeting our needs, feeding us, sustaining us in the wilderness of this world. And there's an earthly picture of that, and it was a mighty stream that sustained the people of God. I said to you that we encounter the same truth that is governed by those two directives. Tell the children of Israel to go forward and consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Those two directives govern our lives many times. I want to give you another example of that. Take Abraham, when the Lord directed him to sacrifice his son Isaac, and apply those two directives, you know, sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself to the Lord. And Abraham does, and he takes his son and he travels there, you know, to the mountains far away. And he comes there and tells the children of Israel to go forward. And forward he goes. And Isaac asks, you know, I have the wood, you have the knife, but where's the sacrifice, right? And Abraham finally has to open up and say, but well, my son, you know, eventually, Isaac is the sacrifice, even though we've said God himself will provide a sacrifice for us. And they go forward, right? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And they go forward all the way to the point where Abraham is to take the life of his son. And the way is opened up. A way is opened up. And Abraham calls that place Jehovah Jireh. In the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And we're to remember that going forward I want you to lay up those two thoughts in your heart, because you're going to need them in one form or another. You're going to be up against, humanly speaking, impossible circumstances, going down a road whereby nature you really don't want to go. And the directives to you are always the same. Consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Remember who you are. You belong to the Lord. I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? You recall that and you confess that. You take your stand on that. And then tell the children of Israel to go forward. You go forward down the road. All of us are going to need this directive definitely at the end of our lives, when we come to face our last enemy, being death. What do we do at a time like that? Most of us don't like to think about that. It's often been compared to crossing over that last river, the Jordan River, into our promised land. And I think that's probably a good analogy. John Bunyan used that analogy of crossing the river. But consecrate yourselves to the Lord. One more time, remind yourself who you are. I'm not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And then tell the children of Israel to go forward. You give yourself to the waters of that river, and as your feet touch the river, a way will be opened up. But when you ask yourself, why should it be so? And then, of course, drawing from the broader context of Scripture, it is because God gave His Son. And when His feet touched those cold waters of a fallen world and life in a fallen world, and especially when He came to the cross, the waters did not part for Him. He went through those waters. He tasted the depths of those waters. And because He did bear the curse of God and gave His life over in death and was separated from the Father and tasted the horrors of the eternal wrath and judgment of God. Because He did that, that's why for God's children there is always a way that is opened up. And we always, with confidence, can set ourselves apart to the Lord, remembering and calling to mind and confessing again who we are, that we are not our own, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And then to hear the Lord's directive to us, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And in going forward, even putting your feet in those waters on the edge of the river, a way will be provided. As Abraham said, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided for. So may God give us all the courage, the faith, to do just that, to give ourselves to the Lord again, and then to go forward in humble faith and trust in Him, and He will show us the way. May God make it so in all of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.